Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/Lambert-Eaton or in the neurology section of the second edition of the Zero to Finals medicine book. And you can find flashcards and questions to train your knowledge and help you remember the information for longer at members.zerotofinals.com. So let's get straight into it. Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome is an autoimmune condition affecting the neuromuscular junction, which is the connection between the motor neurons and the muscles. In some ways, it's similar to myasthenia gravis. However, the symptoms tend to be more insidious and less pronounced than myasthenia gravis. In most cases, it's a paraneoplastic syndrome occurring alongside small cell lung cancer. However, it can occur as a primary autoimmune disorder without the presence of small cell lung cancer. Let's start with the pathophysiology. Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome results from antibodies that are created against voltage-gated calcium channels, and these antibodies are produced in response to small cell lung cancer cells that also express voltage-gated calcium channels. The immune system recognizes the small cell lung cancer and produces antibodies. These antibodies target and damage voltage-gated calcium channels in the presynaptic membrane of the neuromuscular junction. Voltage-gated calcium channels are responsible for assisting in the release of acetylcholine into the synapse of the neuromuscular junction. Acetylcholine travels across the synapse and attaches to receptors on the postsynaptic membrane, and this is what stimulates muscle contraction. When the voltage-gated calcium channels are destroyed, less acetylcholine is released into the synapse, resulting in a weaker signal and reduced muscle contraction. Let's talk about the presentation. The key presenting features are proximal muscle weakness, causing difficulty climbing stairs, standing from a seat, or raising the arms overhead, autonomic dysfunction, which causes a dry mouth, blurred vision, impotence or erectile dysfunction, and dizziness, and reduced or absent tendon reflexes on examination. The signs and symptoms of Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome improve after periods of muscle contraction, which is the opposite of what is seen in myasthenia gravis. In a patient that's been resting, the reflexes may be absent. However, after the patient has been maximally contracting the muscles, the reflexes may become present on immediately testing after the muscle contraction. Similarly, the muscle strength may improve after the muscles have been used compared to when the muscles are rested. Finally, let's talk about management. It's essential to exclude an underlying malignancy in patients with Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome, specifically small cell lung cancer. Amifampridine is a specialist medication for Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome. Amifampridine works by blocking voltage-gated potassium channels in the presynaptic membrane, and this in turn prolongs the depolarization of the cell membrane and assists the calcium channels in carrying out their action. Other management options include pyridostigmine, which is a cholinesterase inhibitor, immunosuppressants, for example, prednisolone or azathioprine, IV immunoglobulins, and plasmapheresis. So thanks for listening to this episode on Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. You may want to consider checking out the members site at members.zerotofinals.com, where there are short answer questions, multiple choice questions, extended matching questions, flashcards, and my course on how to learn medicine. And I hope to see you in the next episode, which will be on Charcot-Marie tooth disease.